Hope you're having a great day. Hope we can make it a little better with the lecture we have for you today. John Kenny here with you. I am in your corner. I am pulling for you as a brother in Christ. I am excited about what God is going to be doing and is doing in your life and in your ministry. Trust me, we are in this together. Revitalization is a tough thing. And anybody who is in that place, boy, we have a kinship, we have a connection, and I'm just praying for you all the way to the finish line, that God's going to be doing something good and wonderful in and through your life and your leadership. So let's hop in this next series of lectures. We're going to be talking about thinking differently, kind of how do we change our mental model and our mindset of what we're supposed to be doing and how do we do it. So these are three, each one is just thinking a little differently about things. So they're related in that sense, but kind of each one stands alone. So hopefully as we go through this, you're going to have some aha moments of like, oh, like, I never thought about it that way. That's kind of my goal, and to kind of maybe give you some new tools or ways to come at things, okay? So let's just hop right in here on lecture 25. Can you believe it? We're at 25 already. You're doing great. Hang in there. 36 isn't that far away. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about thinking differently about defining success. Okay, what is success in a church? Now, in the previous lectures, we've talked about the church growth model, right? And the success according to the church growth model is numbers, like more members, more people in attendance. Giving is up, you know, those kind of things. But again, we talked about, some of those things are really out of our control in many ways, depending on our ministry context, right? And that's not what God necessarily calls us to. He doesn't say, draw a big crowd, I want lots of numbers. Jesus talks about there's the wide road that leads to destruction and a narrow path that leads to life, right? So what does success look like, okay? So what I'd like to just kind of challenge you with in this lecture is about developing a new scorecard for ministry, getting away from this idea of worship attendance, or membership and all that kind of stuff. Now, that can be something we use. That can be part of a scorecard, but that's not just a scorecard. Now, when I talk about scorecard, I mean, really just how do we track how things are going? What are the kind of things we're looking at? Just like if you're playing golf, and you keep score on, well, I got 3 on the first hole, I got 6 on the second hole, I got a 5 on the third hole. You know, there's a scorecard for you to fill out. Or if you're playing a game like Yahtzee or whatever, there's a scorecard and you fill it out, and that's how you know how you're doing, right? How you're doing compared to others. So let's think about a scorecard for church that goes beyond just the statistics that are most often thought of, okay? So this is where we're going to be thinking differently. Now, there are some ways that we can keep score, I'd say, more formally. Now, that's, for example, if you're doing church assessments. We talked about assessments a bunch of times. Now, here's one of the reasons why assessments are really helpful, because they're ways that you can track church health. So, for example, my church, we've done the NCD survey. We've done it now 4 times in the last 6 years. And we're able to really, track very closely, very accurately, how we're doing in certain areas. And so if you're not familiar with the NCD survey, it's areas of like inspiring worship, passionate, you know, spiritual formation, effective structures, loving relationships, gospel sharing. And so we can look at that. So we have a very formal way that we keep track of things. And I can say, here's where we were 3 years ago, here's where we're at now. Now, again, this is independent of attendance and membership. It's really a measure of church health. So there's definitely some advantages to that because you have a baseline and you can kind of move forward and see how you're doing. So if you are doing assessments, which again I highly recommend, just so you have an idea of what you're dealing with in your ministry context, use that as a baseline. Do the same assessment in a year and a half or in 3 years or whatever, and you can kind of see how you're doing with assessment with your church growth, okay, with your health. When I talk about church growth, I really talk about the health. How are you growing in terms of health and vitality? Again, not just sheer numbers. Okay, so that's one way you can do it. It's kind of, again, more formally a way that you can track. And then there's another way that you can do it, which is much more informally, kind of organic. So how is the church doing? Let's think a little bit differently about it rather than, you know, as Harry Reader says, you know, nickels and noses. How many people are there? How much money do we have? So I'm just going to give you a list of things. I don't have them up on the screen. You can either write them down or you can rewatch the lecture or you can do whatever. You can type them in onto your phone or a computer, whatever you've got, your tablet. One would be thinking differently in terms of a scorecard would be personal spiritual formation, all right? Tracking kind of church health in terms of, are people reading the Bible more? Do they read it more consistently? How many people are praying? How often do they pray? How long are they praying? What kinds of things are they praying for, right? That's a different way of keeping score than more people are coming to say, you know, a year ago, we didn't hear stories about people praying and people being, you know, long periods of time, like reading scripture. You know, we've got a group of people here who are committed to reading through the Bible in a year. Like, that's amazing. That's awesome. Like, that's a real indicator, like, that something is happening in your church. So what's going on with people's own personal spiritual practices? Okay, that's kind of just a good way of tracking health in a different sort of way. Think in terms of community. We've talked about the importance of loving covenantal relationships. So are there restored relationships? Does the church get along better? You know, leadership meetings, they don't fight like they used to. There's been some conflicts that have been resolved. We've seen some marriages come together. We have healthy ways of resolving issues now. We have more fellowship events, and people come to them, and they're really enjoying each other. You know, there's just a better sense of when we gather together before worship and after worship, people seem to linger longer. There's more conversation. There's more laughter. All these kind of things, okay? Like, we're thinking, again, differently about a scorecard. You wouldn't necessarily think of, we track church health based on how much laughter there is, right? But isn't that, I mean, a sense of like how, it could be a sense of how well we're doing. You could be thinking in terms of how many people are involved in ministry and service. You know, what kinds of things are people doing? How many volunteers are there in your church? What kinds of ministries are they involved in? Are they getting more committed? Do you have new leaders for these ministries who are growing and developing and maturing, and good things are happening through them. Maybe there's a new ministry that you know somebody had on their heart, and you're doing something. It's just something new and something exciting. You can be also thinking in terms of tracking, in terms of impact that your church or your ministry is having on the community. You know, how many meals have you served this past year? How many backpacks have you given away? And maybe it was zero last year. Maybe it's, you know, we gave out 50 backpacks this year at the start of the school year. And we did a food drive for the local food pantry, or we gave food away, or we collected 30 coats for winter because of the cold weather. There's all kinds of things that, you know, those are things that are happening, that are signs of like health. The church is doing what it's supposed to be doing and celebrating that. You know, last year we gave 30 coats. This year we gave 60. This year we helped out with a Habitat for Humanity build for two weekends. Like, it's great stuff. You know. Let's think in terms of again, like rethinking kind of a scorecard and how we're tracking things. Another really important one would be, how much better do people understand theology? Are people growing in their knowledge of doctrine? You know, we had so many people or whatever go through a class that you taught that really kind of got maybe down a little deeper, or you did a book, a more challenging book read with just a couple people, and then they really grew through that. You know, that's a great thing. Again, this is vitality, this is health. Your leaders, your elders, your deacons, whoever, you know, walking them through, you know, the foundational of faith and just the cornerstones of what we believe, and solidifying them. Again, teaching the doctrine, getting people just squared away on that. That's a great thing. That's something Paul did. That's a strengthening the church move. We can think, I mentioned this just a moment ago, but think in terms of developing new leaders. How many new ministry leaders do we have? How many people are being apprenticed? And maybe you've got a new way of identifying them, and you're expanding your leadership base, and you've got two new deacons helping out this year. You've got somebody leading a ministry, and now they've got somebody coming alongside who they're investing in. Like, wow, you've got new leaders who are stepping out. You could be thinking about how many people are discovering their gifts in ministry. How many people have done like a spiritual gift assessment? How many people know the way that God has shaped them and equipped them for ministry? How many people are, and I know I keep saying how many in terms of, you know, it sounds like numbers, but I mean, we are trying to keep track of some kind of thing here, but I don't necessarily mean like, you know, writing down numbers, but just, you know, looking for these things. The way that people's faith has increased when they are facing trials, that somebody just, you know, their faith really matured and developed when they went through this really valley season of life, and you just saw really wonderful things happening in them. Or we can think about the spiritual conversations we're having with the lost. And this is something that I've tried to track with people in our church. Because I can't control whether somebody, again, comes to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But I can say, have you had more than, you know, four or six spiritual conversations with somebody who doesn't know Christ in the last year? And somebody say, yeah. And I know they said no the previous year. That's just a great thing, right? I mean, that's a mark of a church becoming healthier, proclaiming the gospel more and more. We can think about the number of people, if your church has a small group ministry, or if you have a Sunday school ministry, maybe more people are coming, or maybe just the content is better. Maybe the relationships within it are more meaningful and are deeper. Perhaps in your place, you've got college students who are away from your church, and you see that, you know, they're just sticking with their faith, and they're being leaders on their campus or their dorms, and you know that more kids are just staying with their faith as they grow up. It could be just something as simple as your pastor. If you're a pastor, you're just choosing to stay in ministry. You were thinking about quitting because you were so overwhelmed, but you know you're in a better place now, and you want to stay in ministry, or you want to stay where you're at, you know, in your location. Now, on top of this, of course, we can talk about conversions and baptisms and worship attendance. But why I gave you kind of that long list is to say that we need to think more holistically about what does success look like for a church, right? I mean, what does it look like? And the breadth of things that the width of things that we can think about, kind of on a more informal basis, it's a lot larger than we might imagine. So I think that the importance here is when we think about keeping score on kind of all those informal things, you're likely to see progress there first, rather than on the more formal kind of assessment scales. There's going to be a lot of things that are happening kind of more on the informal way that you're going to be able to see daily or track than you will kind of an every other year kind of assessment sort of a thing. Again, assessments I think are really valuable, but I think the informal, it's kind of more on the ground, it's more organic, it's you can see it happening. You can share it much, much more quickly. And I think there's value in both of these. I think that we need to kind of think differently about how we're tracking the church, both formally and informally. I use both. I think they're both really helpful. So what we want to do is kind of use a new scorecard to build momentum. And momentum is a huge thing in terms of church revitalization. Imagine just this like boulder that's like stuck in mud, and like, you just can't move it. And as long as it's stuck, it's like it's near impossible to get rolling. But what happens with something large once it gets rolling? Like, it's a whole lot easier to keep it going, right? So once we can get something unstuck, it's a lot easier to keep going, you know, keep that momentum going, keep things moving in the right direction. So the reason I wanted to talk to you about a new scorecard is because we can use that to build momentum early on and then to sustain momentum. So how do we do that? How do we use this new scorecard to build momentum? Well, capturing stories, right? All that list of that long list of all the informal things that you can be looking for, capture those stories, share those stories. Either you can share them, or you can ask people to share a testimony about something that's changing in their life, something that's new, how God is showing up. Like, you know, I was never in a small group before, but I did it this year, and I've been really blessed by it. Praise the Lord. You know what? That's going to go a long way in other people's life. Or, you know, I never wanted to help serve in the local mission soup kitchen, but I did it and I had a ball. Praise the Lord. You have a kid come back from college and say, you know, I've gotten involved in this Bible study and my faith is growing and I'm so grateful to have this church that I came from. You know, I mean, these are all the kind of stories you want to capture and you want to share. It gets people really their eyes open to see that, hey, God is at work. Like, God's here. He's moving in other people's lives. It gets them to start thinking, how is He moving in my life? It starts to build confidence in the church. I remember when we had started really this process of revitalization, and we were really trying to grab as many stories and as testimonies as we could. One gentleman, after we'd been doing this for a few months, and he'd been at this church a long time, he goes, you know, for a long time, he goes, I've really hesitated inviting anybody to our church because it felt like it was dead and nothing was happening. He's like, all of a sudden, he's like, I just feel really good about being able to invite people, and he was going to invite his neighbor the following week. And it was like, hey, that's awesome. Well, what was the change? He started to hear stories because we had changed the scorecard. We had new things to celebrate we could see evidence of God's presence and God's work in just a number of different ways. And so kind of right alongside that is this idea of celebrating victories. Hey, we did this. And not we did. I mean, God did this through us. Like, again, stories and testimonies, just like, yay, like we're doing something. And it can be small. When we were looking at really redoing a number of things with our worship, we wanted to just have a deeper experience of the presence of God. And so our leadership team decided that we were going to have additional worship services several times a year that were not on Sunday morning. And so we came up with like four services we were going to do on Friday nights that were a little more unstructured, just a little more time for singing and praying and just open time to experience God. And so when we met to evaluate, like, how did that go? The first thing we said was, we did it. Like, we were talking about it for like a year. We had all different, but it never happened. And so regardless of how many people showed up or, you know, how well it went, we were just like so excited. Like, we did it. That was a victory. The fact that we got it on the calendar, we put it together, we rehearsed for it, we did it, and people actually showed up. Amen. And so we just celebrate that. So that's just an example from our church in kind of what this looks like. And I hope that you're encouraged by this, that you can really be thinking in terms of what are things that we can be looking for, that we can track, that we can share, that we can celebrate to build momentum and get this thing moving and get this thing going in the right direction. Okay, that's it for thinking differently about a scorecard and momentum. And so let me pray for you as we wrap this up. Father, thanks so much again for your wisdom and the way that you're leading us through this whole discussion on revitalization. And God, we do want to celebrate you. I pray that for my brothers and sisters watching this, God, you would open their eyes. And even now, Lord, as they're thinking of what is going on in their ministry, God, that you would bring to mind right now just things that where you're at work, and they would see, Lord, that they are not alone in this, that your Spirit is active and is waiting to be released in full measure in their context. So God, bless them and open their eyes to all that you are and all that you're doing. Amen.